We open up our service in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me as we pray. Lord, I thank you for the life and faith of Evi Schneider. Thank you for the great privilege it is to be here together to celebrate that. But more than anything, Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the great gift of salvation that you have provided through your life, death, and resurrection as a free gift to any and all who call on your name. The free gift of eternal life. And that's why we celebrate with hope. That's why we look to you with hope. Lord, I pray that your comfort, your grace, and your mercy would flood this sanctuary and that each person would sense your presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, and I pray these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Randy now to come up to read the eulogy.
An obituary is just a snapshot. It's a snapshot of an individual's life. It doesn't grasp the totality of one's life, particularly a life as well lived as Evie's. But I will read the obituary that's printed in your little folder. Most of you are accustomed to reading along with me, and you're certainly welcome to. I would also invite you, if you would, to just sit back and picture Evie as I read, or maybe just look at her picture, because this is a good picture. This is Evie, amen? So let me read for you. Evelyn M. Schneider, 88 of Arlington, died March 20th, 2015, at her home in Arlington. Evelyn Evie Mae Schneider was born on September 17, 1926, to Emil Kies and Elma Musolf Moss at Yale, South Dakota. Now, let me tell you, as one of the lineage, that's a mouthful, but these are my people. Evie graduated from Yale High School and attended Huron College and General Beadle Teachers College, then taught rural school for 2 years and 1 year at Alpena. Evie married Toby Hofer on September 26, 1948. They lived on a farm near Carpenter, South Dakota, and later moved to Yale. The couple had 2 sons, Ricky and Rodney. Toby passed away on March 4, 1990. Evie also worked at the Beadle County Treasurer's Office as a clerk, deputy treasurer, then was appointed Beadle County Treasurer and served 4 more terms. In all, she served Beadle County for 32 years. She was active in politics, including serving as president of the South Dakota County Officials Association from 1991 to 1992. She was a lifetime member of the Trinity Lutheran Church at Yale until its closure. Evie was involved in all facets of church business and activities. These included choir, Sunday school, and many church offices. She married Alvin Schneider on January 18, 2003 at Yale and later moved to Arlington. Evie then joined Calvary Free Lutheran Church. Alvin passed away on February 24, 2009. Evie loved to read, cook, bake, plant flowers, play dominoes and cards, but most of all enjoyed spending time with her families, her children and grandchildren. Amen, amen, amen. She will be remembered most for her undying love for God and her service to Him, the church, and families. Evie is survived by 2 sons, Ricky, Susan, Hofer of Austin, Minnesota, Rod, and his wife Kathy Hofer of Brookings, South Dakota, a brother, Donnie Moss of Huron, 1 Schneider son, Joel, with his wife Peggy Schneider of Oldham, 3 Schneider daughters, Renee and her husband, Doug Kinney Metcalf of Brandon, South Dakota, Leanne and her husband, Tony Pellegrino of Alpine, Arizona, Kendra and her husband, Rick Hillstead of Volga, South Dakota, 4 grandchildren, 7 great-grandchildren, and 12 Schneider grandchildren, 12 Schneider great-grandchildren, sisters-in-law Wilma Abrahamson, Doris Bjorkman, Alma Wallman, and many nieces and nephews. Evie was preceded in death by her husband's one infant son, her parents and grandparents. Oh, my dear Evelyn, we will miss you.
Let's ask Amber to come up and read a poem for us, please.
This is on the back of your program as well. When I Must Leave You by Helen Steiner Rice. When I must leave you for a little while, please do not grieve and shed wild tears and hug your sorrow to you through the years. Start out bravely with a gallant smile and forsake and in my name live on and do all things the same. Feed not your loneliness on empty days, but fill each waking hour with in useful ways. Reach out your hand in comfort and cheer, and I in turn will comfort you and hold you near. Never, never be afraid to die, for I am waiting for you in the sky.
Join me as we sing Asleep in Jesus, Blessed Sleep, which is provided within your bulletin.
We have a couple of scripture selections today. The first one was chosen by Evie. If you've seen her Bible, you will see that Psalm 100 is underlined and marked more than any other passage in the book. A life as full as Evie was filled, and full, I mean 88 years, and in this world, you experience great joy and great sorrow, and Evie had both of those. And she also experienced the inequities, the unfairness of life. And it appears that in all of this, she turned again and again to her Lord, and again in Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, O earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And his faithfulness continues to each generation. The second selection was suggested by Pastor Ricky. It's Philippians 1, 27 through 30. It's less familiar than Psalm 100, but when Pastor Ricky suggested this because of it reminded him of Evie and his conversations with her. And when I heard it read over the phone to me the first time, I thought, amen, amen. And I will also confess to you, while all scripture is written for all God's people, when I heard this first read, I heard it in Evie's voice. And I heard it directed specifically to her granddaughters. Now, again, this is for all of us, and yet for Alicia and Amber and Alana and Angie, your grandma's voice is in this. Philippians 1, beginning in verse 27. But whatever happens to me, you must live in a manner. Live in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ as citizens of heaven. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing side by side, fighting together for the good news. Do not be intimidated by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this fight together. You have seen me suffer for him in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of this great struggle with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Join me in singing the hymn of promise, which is also found within your bulletin. As I received a phone call on Friday night, I had a pretty rough day that day, just dealing with some certain things that kind of pop up in the ministry from time to time. I heard a familiar voice on the other end, and it was Joel. And he called to tell me that Evie had passed away, and I just sank against the wall, and it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, as I'm sure it did many of you. And I have to say, the first thought in my head was like, she can't die. But But if you know Evie, and that's why I appreciate this text so much, Evie was never intimidated by anything or anyone. She was secure in her faith in Jesus Christ, and her identity was firmly planted in him. Amen. And, you know, forgive me, but we might get a little Pentecostal here today, and I think that's okay to affirm. There we go. Yeah. I promise I won't do a jig, though. But as I hung up the phone, and as Joel asked me to come out, I wouldn't have missed this. Wild horses couldn't have kept me away. But that I was also awarded the incredible privilege of preaching the gospel of Christ here today, I remembered a conversation I had with Evie about 2 years ago. There was a time, as some of you would remember, she actually was in the nursing home for a couple of weeks, and it was over Christmas. And I remember we got stuck here because it snowed pretty heavily. I believe this was 2 years ago. And so on Christmas Day, Connie and I and the boys were hanging out at the parsonage, and I'm like, I'm just going to go see Evie, see how she's doing. So I grabbed the Suburban, put it in four-wheel drive low, and just plowed through the snow, and we sat there, and after about 2.5 hours, my wife finally called me, like, where are you? Like, we're still talking. Evie and I shared a wonderful fellowship that probably a few of you know about. We didn't talk about it a lot, but we would talk about theology a great deal. Not only did I was fully acquainted with her gift of hospitality, and she contributed greatly to the expansion of my waistline through her food, bringing it over because she lived across the street. But she would always encourage me too. But as we were talking that day on Christmas, we got on the subject of funerals, and quite frankly, I tried to remember, but I don't know how it came up. But she leaned forward, and she was in pain. She had a little bit of pain going on. She was in her chair. She grabbed a hold of the arms, and she leaned forward, and she goes, Brian, if you preach at my funeral, don't you dare talk about me. And she even gave me one of these. And so today I have the incredible honor and privilege to fulfill that promise that I made to her 2 years ago. Paul, as he was in prison, wrote the book of Philippians. And as he wrote to a congregation that he planted, to people he encouraged, people he loved in the faith, he really didn't know if he would see them again. But as he wrote this letter from prison, he wrote them encouraging them to do three things. To live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel of Christ with and without words. To stand firm in your faith as a united body of believers in Christ. And to endure the sufferings of this world with hope because of what Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, has provided through his life, death, and resurrection, the free gift of salvation. Join me in standing as we read from God's holy word. Philippians chapter 1, reading verses 27 through 30. Reading in Christ's name. Only let the manner of your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you, or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened or intimidated by anything or by your opponents. This is a clear sign of their destruction and of your salvation, and this is from God. For it has been granted to you, for the sake of Christ, that you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw that I had, and now you hear I still have. Lord, I thank you for these encouraging words from the Apostle Paul as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit through the inspired and inerrant word of God. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to each one of our hearts, and Lord, that we would be encouraged and that we would be strengthened and preserved in the faith. Lord, I pray selfishly that every word that comes out of my mouth is from you and not from me. And Jesus, may you receive all the glory, honor, and praise. And I pray these things in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And so as I said, there's three things that Paul wanted to encourage to the church of Philippi. And I believe with all my heart, there's three things that every would want to encourage every single person here in. And that first encouragement is to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live the gospel of Christ. Reading verse 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, in one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. I think one of the loudest sermons that any believer in Christ Jesus can preach is their life. And quite frankly, if you were at the visitation last night, we heard that. Evie's life preached the saving gospel of Jesus Christ with and without words. Her integrity, her commitment, her just sense of justice. She was a high justice person. She wanted to see justice done, understanding the sinful nature of this world and the unfair aspect of this world. She understood that, but she kept fighting for that justice. And she stood strong in her faith, and she lived the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember when I first entered into seminary, somebody encouraged me with similar words by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy. It says in chapter 4, set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith and purity. Keep close watch on yourself and your teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. One thing I have learned as a preacher or as a pastor is that my life brings power to my words. My life brings potency to my words. And there's a famous quote that we've heard, and nobody really knows who really wrote it, but that we are to live and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if necessary, use words. And so as we revel and experience this free gift of salvation that Christ has freely poured out through his life, death, and resurrection and made that gift free and available to everyone and anyone who calls on the name of Christ. And that's an amen and maybe even an oofta. Hallelujah. And that free gift is made available, placing your trust solely in the work and person of Christ. In the power of God's grace, Jesus has asked us to take up our cross daily and follow him. To live as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, because this is your spiritual worship. Worship in the Jewish sense wasn't just limited to singing some songs on Saturday or Sunday. Worship was your whole life. Your entire life. All of who you were, where it was to point to the Savior that gave you freedom and declared you innocent because of his righteousness and because of his payment. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy to take up your cross daily and follow Christ, to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ as a united body of believers. I pray that each one of us would do that, that in the power of God's grace, we would respond in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we would live in a way that honors Jesus Christ, remembering the legacy that Evie taught us, because she pointed to Jesus, her Lord and Savior. The second thing that Paul encourages us in is to stand firm and not be intimidated by anyone. Now, I know some of you know Evie, and if you know her, she wasn't intimidated by anyone. And I remember her walking in my office a few times saying, I need you to clarify something for me, Pastor. And I appreciated that so much. She came to me and she asked me questions. What exactly did you mean? Encouraging me. So thankful for what God was doing in the midst of this congregation. And what was really neat about Evie is she wasn't afraid to shed a tear every once in a while, especially when it came to youth. She had a heart for youth and to see her grandchildren succeed in the Lord, not necessarily in this world, but in the Lord, living a life that is pleasing to him. But we are not to be frightened or intimidated in anything, Paul says, or by our opponents. This is a clear sign of their destruction, and it's a clear sign of salvation in Christ Jesus. Because a lot of times as we live for Jesus, and we do it as an act of worship, and this is what I loved about Evie, and this is what I love about the gospel, is that her life wasn't this fake display of piety or self-righteousness at all. She's one of the most humble people I have ever met. She lived it because he was worthy. She lived it because she loved Jesus, the Lord that has given his life for you and for me. Amen. But we're not talking, or Paul isn't just talking to isolated individuals here. He's talking about the unity of believers. I think in Western America, we oftentimes think that we don't need anybody. We're all self-sufficient. But you know what? That's not what Scripture says. We need each other. We're to be eager to maintain the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. It says in Galatians, we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I think it's a lot easier to stand firm as a group, united, than an isolated individual being hit by the storms of life on your own. We need each other. We need each other. And I think it takes humility and courage to admit that. And I think as we do, we become stronger in the Lord, because when we are weak, he is strong. Amen. And we stand firm in the power and strength of God's might, not our own. Paul wrote a similar encouragement in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, finally, be strong in the strength of his might. Notice the focus there. The strength of God's might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, or against we wrestle against rulers and principalities and the evil aspects of Satan's influence in this world. Therefore, Paul says, take up the whole armor of God, which Christ has provided to you through his life, death, and resurrection. It is his strength. It is Christ's righteousness. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that has been poured out through the free gift of salvation that enables any of us to stand strong in the strength of God's might and not our own. So I would encourage you that we need one another. Think of this family and pray for them in the following days. Because as that adrenaline starts to kind of come down and we get back to our old way of life, that emptiness that we feel over the loss of a loved one and that ache doesn't just go away. And you can't go around grief. You got to go through it. You can't hide it or push it down. The only way to get to the other side of grief is to go through it. And we need one another to do that. So ask for help if you need help. Ask for prayer if you need prayer. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of us, may we, in the power of God's grace, come alongside one another and bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ, to love each other in the same way that Jesus has loved us. May we live in a manner worthy of that calling, eager to maintain the unity of spirit and the bond of peace as a united body of believers in Christ Jesus. The final encouragement that Paul has is that we are to endure with hope. Endure with hope. Beginning in verse 29, it says, for it has been granted to you for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw in me, and now here that I still have. And of course, forever that conflict is over. But I too can hear the words of, or the voice of Evie. I can, and I appreciated so much what Randy shared, because as I read it, honestly, I heard her voice too. I know it is God's holy word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Yes and amen. But as God brought me to this text, I could just hear her so clearly saying, you live it. Live the gospel of Christ. Stand firm. Don't let anyone intimidate you. And endure with hope, because of the promise of the resurrection in Christ Jesus. I can just hear her voice, and I'm going to read this. I think it might be in the translation that Randy read earlier. And hear the word of God. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggle together, and there's that unity that Paul talks about. You have seen my struggle in the past. And Evie would say, if I can do it in the power of God's grace, so can you. Don't be intimidated by anyone. live the gospel of Jesus Christ and rest in the hope of eternal life that is found in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, it just promises us this wonderful and free gift through the power of his salvation and the Holy Spirit. And Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not might, not maybe, you will be saved. Hear the certainty of those words, please. Be encouraged and strengthened in the certainty of those words. Paul continues, for everyone, don't you love the word everyone? I do. For everyone who calls on Jesus will be saved. And so I don't know where any of you are at. All of you anyway. I know where some of you are at. And in the most gentle and humble way I can say, I can't think of a greater way of celebrating the legacy of Evie than to present to you the opportunity to respond in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're uncertain of your eternal destination, because it is a reality that each one of us will die. Absolutely. This temporary life is not our home, and I think we need to be reminded of that. And in my personal conviction, I think that's the blessing and the privilege of death. To be reminded that there's something greater on the other side of this life for those who trust in Christ. And so if you're uncertain, I pray that in the stillness of your heart, that you would cry out to Jesus. That you would place your trust that he lived the perfect life that you could not. That he paid for every sin of the world on the cross of Calvary. And he infused the power of God to save through his resurrection and the pouring of the Holy Spirit. Place your trust in him. You will not be put to shame. Evie is experiencing the reality of that promise right now in the presence of the triune God with no more pain, no more suffering, a place where death is no more. Amen. But we too can have that promise. Live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Life is short. Stand firm as a united body of believers in his word, in Christ's promise, in Jesus' salvation, and endure with hope, because the suffering that we experience in this temporary life is not to waste. Because one day, as Evie has experienced, Jesus will come again to bring those who are his home to live with him in a place for all eternity. And as much as I realize she loved colors, especially purple, that's why I have purple on today. It was her favorite tie. She's seen colors now that she's never seen before in the presence of God. She's experiencing no pain. In the freedom of the total inheritance in Christ Jesus. And so may each one of you be encouraged by the certainty of that promise that's found only in Jesus. And may each single person under the sound of my voice, I pray, would know for certain that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. It's my prayer. I know it would be Evie's desire. And it certainly is God's will for your life. Pray with me. Jesus, the word thank you just seems so insignificant to the salvation that you have provided. Because you did not look upon our suffering and our hopeless situation from a distance, you became one of us. And in an extraordinary act of your mercy, you became one of us, and you suffered with us and for us in order to redeem us. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord. I thank you for the gift of faith that you give through your holy word. And so, Lord, I pray that your spirit would strengthen, encourage each person here. And, Lord, that we would persevere in the faith, that we would stand strong. and that we would endure with hope because of the promise, those who do will not be put to shame. May we live for you all the days of our life until that faithful day we too will stand in your presence for all eternity. I pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Join me in singing a wonderful hymn found in your hymnal in front of you, hymn number 165, Hallelujah, What a Savior. Pray with me, please. Jesus, again, we thank you for who you are and what you have accomplished. As I have prayed before, I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to those who are grieving. Lord, be with them in the coming days, protect them from all evil, and continue to encourage them in the faith with the words that you have put into our hearts, your word, your holy word. And Lord Jesus, may we trust in you and the power of your grace, and may we do so all the days of our life. We close now by praying the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The family would like to invite you to a light meal immediately following the service, and then there'll be a committal service out in Yale, South Dakota. I believe it's at 2 o'clock. Is that correct? 2:30 out at Yale if you'd like to do that. Please stand for the benediction. And I'm going to ask for grace because it's a little bit longer, but it's worth hearing. And this is the promise that believers have in the great inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. Revelation chapter 21 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write these things down, for they are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. to the thirsty. I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be their God, and they will be my child. Amen. Join me in singing our closing hymn, How Great Thou Art, hymn number 16.